You are now listening to the Someone's Favorite Productions podcast network.
P-R-I-S-O-N, P-R-I-S-O-N, it's prison. Yeah, yeah, it's prison. Yeah, yeah. P-R-I-S-O-N, prison, prison, prison. Yeah, yeah, prison. Yeah, yeah. Get the handcuffs, get the jail, get the bars, get the bail, prison. Yeah, yeah, it's prison. Yeah, yeah.
And the bars.
Get the bars.
Get the bars. It's prison. Get them. Bring them in.
Call the warden. Get the guards. Get the dogs.
She's got more. Second verse, not the same as the first.
Second verse is different. Second verse is different.
Totally different. I get it.
She's still going. Jangle, jangle, got the keys. Who is going to free me? It's prison. Yeah, yeah, it's prison. Yeah, yeah. I'm here to see my son. Just kidding, I came for fun. It's prison. Yeah, yeah, it's prison. Yeah, yeah.
Music.
Welcome to New World Pictures Podcast, where we talk about everything New World Pictures. I'm Ryan. With me, as always, is Mark.
Hey, I'm only out on probation right now, so we got to make this fast.
We got to hurry this up. And Erica.
Yeah.
You guys, I don't even know where to begin.
And joining us for this episode, we have a returning guest. He is a writer and a co-host of Get Me Another Podcast is Chris Iannacone. Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back.
Let's all meet up at the abandoned palace off on in the distance over the mountains. It's going to be a really long walk to get there, guys. Long walk.
Don't worry. You're we have one it. Canteen. We'll be fine.
Don't play around with grenades.
Yeah. Now, Chris, Get Me Another Podcast is one of our absolute favorites. We love it.
Oh, thank you.
Tell the listeners about it. Like, let's talk about your podcast real quick before we move on.
Oh,
my God.
Get Me Another. Oh, it's our podcast. What we do is with every series, we look at a watershed movie, a blockbuster movie, a movie that changed the cinematic conversation. And then we look at the movies that came after and tried to replicate its success. It's exciting. It's fun. We always, there's interesting stuff coming soon. We're going to kick off a new series in late March, and that is going to be Get Me Another Fatal Attraction. And we are excited for that.
Oh my God.
That's going to be good.
The entire 90s to draw from.
Oh, the late 80s and 90s. Yeah. All these thrillers revolving around dangerous strangers who in one way wreak havoc on yuppies' lives. It's the blank from hell trend. Girlfriend from hell, boyfriend from hell, roommate from hell, employee from hell, boss from hell. You name it, we've got one from hell.
Love it.
Yes.
Love it.
Yes. That's gonna be good.
Oh, it's good. We're very excited about it.
And this is perfect that you're joining us for this episode, which we have to say, you are our first guest for Prison Mark 2, Second Offense. We're gonna talk about some women in prison movies. You were on our Lady Frankenstein episode, so clearly we like to have you here when we talk about Italian movies. But this movie is also an Italian Get Me Another version of a New World movie.
Yes!
So it's perfect to have you here.
It really This is what kismet. We call, it's serendipity. It's what we call on our show serendipity, where it just kind of happens. And here's the thing. What you guys didn't know is that I have been quietly preparing for this episode by watching a whole host of 70s women in prison movies, mostly while my wife is out of town. Over the years, just a little at a time, I've been getting ready. So I am fully prepared to contextualize this in the broader tradition of the 70s women in prison.
Love it. Mm-hmm.
And
love
it's
it.
Very exciting. It's very love it. Exciting.
I'm so glad we brought an expert on. This is perfect. This as that was so loud.
Do you have rocks in that class?
What is in there? Do you have like an old? Is it like an old whistle just in there?
No, I just I just boiled a tambourine, and I'm drinking it. Fair. I'm drinking it liquefied tambourine.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god! Okay,
real coppery tasting.
This is our second. This is
Christmas
our second
in March.
This is our second go-round to talking about the women in prison films that New World made a lot of and popularized. That's a tough word to
That's
get
That's how
out.
You say that.
That is.
Popularized.
That is.
Bit by bit. Bit by bit, you say mm-hmm. it. Syllable by syllable. That's how you get it. Here, we're going to talk about an unusual one, even for New World standards. Yeah. We're going to be talking about 1972's The Big Bust Out.
The Big Bust Out. These are the women inside the castle of carnal crimes. Men cage their bodies, but not their desires. Chained to a prison of passion where lust is a lifestyle.
You and you'll get undressed. The rest of you back yourselves.
Undressed. Come on, hurry.
Look at the horny cub. She's foaming at the mouth.
I want to see what you're hiding. Ah! Hey. Making you horny, is it?
What do you want?
To screw you, what else?
Always turn on by a pair of pants.
Don't touch me, miserable.
Machine Gun Maiden, mixing death with desire. Unchained Wild Women.
Yeah, it just keeps going.
It just keeps mm-hmm. going.
You stop. Yeah. Go on!
Capture. Sold as slaves to satisfy the desires of men. Forced to love. Made to mate. The wildest adventure ever known for man. And woman.
And woman. Yeah.
In Technicolor.
I've seen it.
That's right, 1972's The Big Bust Out, a.k.a. The Crucified Girls of San Ramon, brought to you by Sister Maria's Fruit and Vegetables.
Yep.
Want the perfect way to rehabilitate local prisoners? Sister Maria's Fruit and Vegetables can help. We bring in some of the angriest and most disgruntled female prisoners to our convent to pick our fruit and vegetables. The freshest you'll taste in whatever area of the world we're in. And don't worry, the prisoners will not take advantage of this rare taste of freedom and escape at the nearest opportunity. That's why we employ the horniest armed guards. Enjoy the quality of Sister Maria's fruit and vegetables and buy with confidence that you're helping the local prison population. Order today. Sister Maria's Fruit and Vegetables currently has no produce to sell because of a workforce prison break.
So, a little fun fact.
Yes.
If you are a nun, you must change your name to be a derivative of Mary.
Really?
So okay. Sister Maria is actually correct that that would be the name that you changed to.
It had to be like 30 Sister Marias in that place.
I would feel like no, that would be sure. real confusing real fast.
Yeah, real it's fast. Just, real fast.
Oh, Maria 1, Maria 2, Maria 3. Mm-hmm. You know, it's Maria cubed. Yeah.
But yeah. My daughter, who's named Agnes, is a derivative. It's a sister name to Mary, so she wouldn't have to change her name if she became a nun.
Well, Agnes of God.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go.
Exactly.
Interesting. That's like one of those things when you're called James or John, and you go like, "Yeah, I'm Jack," and you're like, "Well, yeah. Feels like a leap, you know?" Like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. Sure. All right. Doesn't seem right.
There's a story there, and I'm sure there's a story that makes that where that makes sense. But just hearing it, you know, this movie was directed by Ernst Ritter von Tumor, here credited as Richard Jackson, who would go on to direct Hell Hunters. Released by New World Video.
Got it. That man. Having sex under a waterfall scene is
when they're being pelted with water. Like, it is so uncomfortable for them particularly, but also for us. Anyway, around this time, Von Tumor had just written and produced 1971's Secret Life of a Schoolgirl Wife, which apparently did not feature a schoolgirl wife at all. Much like this film doesn't crucify any girls, and the big bust out happens about 15 minutes in.
So, but what's interesting about the title, though, is the big bust out is clearly designed to evoke movie like The Big Dollhouse, The Big Birdcage. Like all those early, you know, the Jack Hill women in prison movies are all the big something something. Oh, right. What we call this? We're not calling this the Crucified Girls of San Ramon. That doesn't play in Peoria. We're calling it the Big Bust Out. Here's the real question. Is it called the Big Bust Out because they bust out of prison or because busts come out of shirts?
I mean,
I think it's a play on words.
It's a double me. Sure. It's like Death Wish for the Crackdown. Yeah, it's
He's taking down crack dealers, correct.
Yes, and want you put the crack down.
Yeah, and he's doing the crackdown. Number one, probably my favorite Death Wish, but we're not here to talk about that.
No.
But I do love it. I do love that one. That's one of my favorites. This is written and produced by Sergio Garone, who was a true journeyman director of Italian ripoffs, starting with a few Django that he made, and also he dabbled in horror and then Nazis ploitation films and would return to the women in prison genre in the 1980s, early 80s. Before retiring from movies altogether, he opened a restaurant in Rome. And that was the rest of his career.
Yeah, living the dream. Just make movies until I don't want to and then open a restaurant.
This stars, if it can star anyone... first billed is Vanetta McGee. She was an American actress who got her start in Italy with 1968's The Great Silence, one of the great Italian westerns, and would break out the same year in 1972 in Hammer, Melinda, and Blackula.
Oh, yeah.
With her career continuing in films like Detroit 9000, The Iger Sanction.
The Iger Sanction is one of my favorites.
Clint Eastwood.
Oh, my goodness. You're it's the best spy / mountain climbing movie around.
It's hard to do better. Also Repo Man. She's also in Repo Man.
Yep.
That was her return. She dealt her whole life dealing with cancer. And so she stepped away from the business. Repo Man was her return. She did, however, pass away in 2010, leaving behind her husband, actor Carl Lumbly, who appeared most recently in Captain America: Brave New World. So, still working. Well, you can go see it in the movie theater, Mark, if you'd like.
Probably just, not going to happen.
Dropping hints about May.
There's plenty of Mays left.
Yeah.
Plenty of Mays in the future.
Probably not going to do that. But okay. All right, anyway.
Just saying.
Interesting story.
May, we usually talk about Marvel movies, so I just thought I'd mention a Marvel movie. What the heck?
The worst month of the year, you know?
Foreign Film February was pretty bad, so really gave June Gloom a run for its money.
I think sometimes it's like what we finished with in a month gives you a bad aftertaste for the rest of the month, even though the rest of the month was pretty fun, but you know, sometimes that'll happen. Here's where you can watch the big bust out. It is a YouTube is probably your best bet.
Mm.
But you can find it on Shout TV or Plex, or you can go ahead and buy it on the Shout Factory Blu-ray with the extra special feature of trailers. So,
oh,
a lot of added context.
I was hoping they had the extra special feature of the 20 minutes that were cut out, because I looked high and low to find out what was in those 20 minutes, but I could not do it.
I can't find it either. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is also on Tubi, by the way. It is it is also there as well.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Okay. Good to know.
But our buddy Philo doesn't have it?
He does not. He does. Hey, it's me, Philo. I don't know where to find it. I was looking for the Crucified Girls of San Ramon. I found some pretty weird movies, but it wasn't this one. but before we go forward, we need to talk about what this movie is about. Mark, let's start with you. What is The Big Bust Out about?
The Big Bust Out is about something that we all need, togetherness, you know?
Mm.
We all want to be part of a community.
Yeah.
We all want to find something that brings us all together. And, mm-hmm. you know, for some people, that's church or it's their job. It could be a cult. Yep. But the reality is, to bring a community together, to make us all be a part of something socially, emotionally, it doesn't have to be that hard, because all you really need is a rainbow beach ball.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That brings a group together like nothing else.
Nothing says I'm your ride or die like a rainbow beach ball.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
whether you are at a baseball stadium, you're mm-hmm. on a physical beach or an indoor pool,
mm-hmm.
it brings
yeah.
people together. So
it also brings joy to everyone. Yeah. I think we don't mm-hmm. appreciate the subtle joy of a rainbow beach ball.
Especially mm-hmm. when you're meeting with the chief of police and, you know, your buddy's playing with the ball behind you. It's all right.
Yeah.
Just fucking brightens up that meeting.
The only thing that rivals a beach ball is finding a very, very small stream.
Yeah.
That is also just as exciting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Almost
equally,
just mm-hmm. equally exciting. Mm-hmm. It's such a thin stream, it's barely a stream.
When I see a thin stream, I just want to splash the dirty water over all my friends. And they love it. They laugh. Oh, we have good times. Oh, it's so good.
Because you're excited because you're like, this is the equivalent amount of water as somebody leaving on a hose. So let's just dance in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus, I love when my friends get into it and they get my jeans wet, because wearing wet jeans all day is my favorite.
You know, but you're in the desert. Those are going to dry out real fast. Don't worry.
Yep.
Fair. Fair.
That's
fair.
Right.
Don't worry about it.
That's right.
With the exception
of
that
crotch. I didn't want the ladies of this movie to reveal how fun, you know, thin streams are. But, you know, I guess if we had to peel back the curtain for you guys, I'm glad that it happened and that could bring you all together so you can see, you know, ladies love one thing. It's just thin streams of water. Just mm-hmm. we can't help ourselves. Irresistible. Yep.
Thin streams of water and pillow fights. That's mm-hmm. what I've learned from this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Chris, that's about it.
Let's go to you. What is The Big Bust Out about?
The Big Bust Out is a cautionary tale about the dangers of trying to trade up without exactly knowing what you're trading up to.
Mm.
Could be that prison that you and your friends are in is actually preferable to an endless trek across the vast desert, or mm-hmm. sex slavery in a warlord's castle.
Mm-hmm.
Alternatively, though, the movie is really about how the real big bust out is the friends we made along the way.
Wow, so true.
That was beautiful.
That's the biggest bust out of them all.
That is
the most important bust out. Erica, let's go to you. What is The Big Bust Out about?
You know what? If you're one pretty lady, you can get away with a lot. But if you combine the power of seven pretty ladies, you can get away with damn near anything except for surviving. Only three of seven are going to survive.
Yeah.
But other than that,
yeah.
No.
With their beautiful powers combined, they can accomplish it all.
The world is yours. On that note, I felt this movie was about, you know, it's important to be a friend that your friends bother to bury. And I think that that is key. It's a key thing for life. Don't be the ones that they, don't be the friend that when you're shot off your horse, they're like,
I know we're not a final question, but I'm now questioning, am I a friend, people? Am I a friend that would get buried? Oh, shit. I might need a minute. I might need a minute to ponder this. I don't know if I'm buryable. I don't know. Okay,
really quick, though. Those crosses were never going to stand the test of time.
In the sand like that? Forget it.
No, mm-hmm. never.
No.
You need...
No, but
you
look, the attempt was made because those were the good friends.
It's a gesture. Yeah.
But you need to dig a hole 2 feet deep, and then you need 10 inches of concrete to really get that thing to hold.
Well, I didn't
know.
So
I'm just saying.
I didn't know we were crunching the numbers on wooden crosses tonight.
Well, you have to carefully lower the cross into the concrete, and then you got to have a level to make sure it's straight. Otherwise, the sands of time are going to blow that over the next day.
Man.
Mark, I don't even know if I'm buryable. I can't even worry about the cross at this point. I'm probably just somewhere decaying because I've been a shitty friend.
Oh, fair. Fair.
Make sure Mark's around when I get machine gunned.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Hold on, everyone. I know we're all sad, but let's quickly run to Home Depot. Some rules.
We got to get some quick, dry cement. We need 10 inches thick, so we're going to need a couple bags. Incidentally, fun story. I was pouring a deck.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Is it? Are you sure?
Yeah, this is
fun. This is going to be fun?
Listeners, this is going to be worth it.
Mark was pouring a good friend into his deck.
No. Yep. It's not
and
that
he's
good.
Still there because Mark did it right.
So I was pouring a deck.
He didn't mess around.
In my backyard, and I had run out of cement or concrete. I'm going to screw this up. This one is the hard and one is the powder. Anyway, and I had to run to the hardware store to buy a couple bags of concrete. And I was in a hurry because I'd already had some that was setting and I have to dump more in there.
And the cops could show up at any time.
And the cops can show up at any time. So I'm pushing it in the cart. And they had in the parking lot, the little divot for the rain to kind of channel out of the parking lot. And I hit the divot and I went fully endo over the shopping cart because it was so heavy from the bags of concrete. I fully went over the top and landed on my back on the other side. God. And I sat up, and this couple that had just got out of their car, they could not help themselves. They were laughing their asses off at me.
Oh,
and they tried through their laughing to be like, are you okay? I'm totally fine. I'm totally good. Now, I was fucking totally wrecked. I was
you
so
could have been really hurt. They're laughing at that.
Oh,
Sean,
shit.
Tell you what, when those two people die, I'm not digging a grave for them.
No. Nope. Token crosses at best.
Sorry, guys. At best. Yeah. A couple old sticks and just put them in the dirt. Yeah. I'm not even digging some sand out of the way just to put them underneath.
Yeah, fair.
Let some That's kid fair. Come by and turn it into an X.
Well, here's the Letterbox synopsis. It's very short, but we are on Letterbox, so give us a follow there if you can. Chris, you're on Letterbox, aren't you?
I am not on Letterbox. I am too honest about the movies I watch to put them out in public like that. I can't do it.
Can't well, you can sign up during this episode. We've had a few guests that have done that. So.
Oh, wow.
Not sure they've done much posting of the movie. They're either not watching movies or not posting about the movies they watch. Mm. One or the other. Okay, it's very quick, and it's pretty on point, actually. Seven beautiful women in a high-security prison. Mm-hmm.
High security?
I take umbrage with high security.
High security?
Yeah.
I don't know about high not security.
High security, but okay.
But
I'm
okay.
with them.
All right.
Set the stage for a big bust out. Now, here's where this falls off, okay? Here's where this falls off a cliff here. Yeah, that's it.
Mm. I do need to join Letterboxd.
They don't set the stage. They don't set the stage for a big bust out. They don't
plan
this thing at all.
They don't do
and
shit.
No. It's barely a bust out. It does.
Off the stage is set for them.
It is set for them. But I will give it this. We do start in a prison.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the warden is typically cruel. And so it does feel like all the women in prison movies that we've watched and Chris has watched while his wife is out of town. And the prison is very horny. It's a very horny place, which tracks with a lot of the stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do have to say, right off the bat, the wardens or one of the guards slap one of the seven women. And it's the woman with like curly red hair. But I'm like, that's a wig. Am I like, I could not. Well, I was obsessed watching her. That's a wig, right?
The hair is amazing. Let's just start with that. The hair is amazing. And I want to say, see, I think the prison here, we watched, you know, a lot of the jungle. You mentioned that a lot of the New World ones are shot in the Philippines. So you have these jungle settings and they're these kind of like almost camps that the women are in. This is a much nicer prison. First of all, there's classical architecture. Like, it looks great. Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm not saying it's Club Med. I'm not saying it's beautiful Mount Airy Lodge. Sure. But there's no sign of rats. There's no commandant in a Cobra Commander mask torturing prisoners.
Right.
Like, it looks visibly cleaner. And the hair products that Carmen must have in order to maintain the volume of curls, I mean, you don't get that in most correctional facilities.
No. It's definitely a sandals.
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of
or even sandals too.
I think you're thinking of hedonism too, but whatever. I'm with you. I'm with you.
We kind of have talked about this, but this was a pickup for Roger Corman, this movie. We'll get into how he picked this movie up later in the show. But as Chris has already mentioned, Corman did cut about 20 minutes out of the movie, which may be why this movie starts out so confusingly and seems to have no central protagonist whatsoever. Watching the beginning of this movie, it's like, is the movie about this woman in this red wig? Or is it Gail? Or
Gail, the Swiss woman?
She's, who's attacked by the woman who's forced to spend a year in solitary. Is it
don't
Sister
go in
Maria?
Solitary.
Who is this movie about? And I will ask this question to ourselves throughout the whole podcast, and I don't know if there's an answer.
No, and what's interesting is in most women in prison movies in the New World tradition, you have that one protagonist who is sent to prison on like trumped up charges, or it's like a miscarriage of justice.
Right.
Not here. They're all guilty. They all seem to be guilty. And honestly, they probably should be in jail. Like they go through a journey.
Right.
A transformation, if you will. But at the beginning, they should be in jail, these women.
Yes. And let's get to that, because I mean, the other thing too, I should mention is we can either blame Corman's editing or the fact that this is an Italian film. So whether or not there was any real properly introduced characters, I mean, that's going to just be a mystery, because I don't think we could truly know.
We need those other 20 minutes. That's what we need.
Do we though? I don't know. I think it was kind of fun and wild without it. Just who knows?
Oh no! Don't get me wrong.
I
enjoyed it as it was, but if Vinegar Syndrome put out like a deluxe version with a slipcase with both versions of it, I would buy that. I wouldn't even wait for the half yearly sale.
There you go, Vinegar Syndrome.
You're putting
there
that right
go.
In the cart. You're paying for the shipping. Right. We're doing the whole thing.
But I think the hero that we're rooting for at the beginning of this movie is the bust.
Yeah.
Right. That's the title. That's who we're waiting for. But what we do get, though, is a little bit of this character info dump that Chris is talking about. And that is when Sister Maria visits Mr. Ma, who is a man.
A yo-yo enthusiast.
A yo-yo enthusiast who works in building and does job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There is an armed guard out front. And then he's let in, and he has nothing on the door or on his desk. I have no idea who he is or whatever. But anyway, I don't even know where we are in this world. But it doesn't matter.
What
we'll never know.
What country is this in?
We don't know. I don't know. I have no idea.
It's a real that is a real mystery. Oh my God! Mm-hmm. What country?
Where
is,
are we? Where are
I,
we?
I don't know where in the world we are.
I don't know where we are. But anyway, we do get this info.
Unfortunately, although I've tried my best, I haven't achieved much.
That I can understand. Our guests here are not exactly saints.
I wouldn't try to say they are.
But their records speak for themselves. A Carmen Rodriguez, Spanish, killed her lover out of jealousy. 20 years. Gail Hoffman, Swiss, receiving. 3 years, held on suspicion many times. A tough one. Inga Maresca, Polish, passing dead checks. First offense. She'll be out soon. Claire King, U.S. passport. Interpol got her on a forgery charge. She's in for 7. Lolita Anderson, English, Claire's girlfriend. Sneak thief. Second offense, 3 years. Liana Leclerc, French. 5 years for pushing all types of drugs. Chris Campbell, pickpocket. 1 year.
I didn't realize when you went to prison, you all wore dress shoes.
Mm-hmm. Like that, yep. I mean, look, proper footwear is important in prison. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is a nice prison with architecture.
Yeah, it is. I didn't know you were going to play that clip. I wrote down all that information just so I'd have it. I went through and I'm like, Spanish, Swiss. Oh, first offense will be out soon. You know.
Chris is too good for this podcast.
Yeah, Chris is doing the homework.
Chris is too good. He's too good.
Yeah, the girl who has like a year left, she should have been saying like, guys, let's just go back to prison. I just got a year left and I'm out. Like, I don't want
to. It's not bad. Just don't go in the hole.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's the worst place this place has. But anyway, I'm glad we have all that information because now that you've paid attention to that, you can now still know nothing about any of these women as you continue to watch them.
You know that Claire and Lolita are a couple.
That's a that's about it. That's about
we have that. But Carmen's also in the mix as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I also love that Sister Maria starts that with like, I haven't achieved much. I like that she is so like, hey.
She's real. She's a real one.
I need to, like, career-wise. I'll be the first to say it. I'm dropping the bag here. I've really gotta I gotta pick this up. I gotta really do some more nun stuff to really bring this up.
Yeah, but you wouldn't see a character like her in some of the more, you know, the New World Pictures movies that they made. You didn't get that kind of like reformer character who genuinely has the prisoner's like best interests at heart. That's not
true.
That is unique to this. And I thought it was interesting because she's got an arc too.
Yeah, she does have an arc. You're right. Cause she's trying to like find a way of like get, you know, bringing up her reputation, really taking care of these girls, really believes in rehabilitating them. And in this, like, I think the reason is that this is decidedly less camp. Though I should say, Women in Cages is also not camp in any way.
Women in Cages is depressing.
It is a bummer.
It's just, it's like, bummer. It's like, let's take the big dollhouse and make you want to slit your wrists. Like, that's Women in Cages.
Yeah. Dear Lord. Shot like right after the big dollhouse. So they decided,
also,
I think, to do a
severely
different.
Severely lacking in cages.
That is Mark will never forget that.
He would never ever forgive them for that.
Oh. Well, they were test marketing those titles, you know, Mark, at like various high schools, and women in prison holes just didn't seem to make much sense. It just didn't. It was like, what does that even mean?
They should have gone with women on a floating brothel. Like that would have
right. Made more sense.
But it only makes sense for the last, third of the film, maybe. But
Well, the big bust out happens about a quarter of the way into this movie, so who knows?
Yeah,
totally true.
Speaking of how the title gets to it, I guess at this point, once Sister Maria gets a permission, which we don't see, but I guess she gets permission to have the women work at the convent. Is that technically the bust out, or is everything that follows then the bust out?
I feel like that's the bust out appetizer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's where they're thinking about it.
Yeah.
They're like, you know what? I do want some calamari.
Yeah.
But I don't, I want more to eat too.
Yeah. So, just the calamari.
They're like, let's just get some calamari and we'll think about it.
That's not a meal.
I have something I got to mention here before we go much further, because there is something interesting and perhaps unique in just the opening moments of this movie, where you have the opening and closing music, which I loved because it's like out of a 70s cop show. And the opening titles, which are clearly done for the New World version, are at 185, and then the movie itself switches to 235 when the actual movie starts. And I got to be honest, that's a new one for me, where you're gonna do 185 for the credits and then go Cimascope for the rest of the movie. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know,
it's very possible they shot their own title sequence.
Yeah, so no, I figured, and then to that fantastic 70s cop drama. It's like the theme from Kojak. It's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and mm-hmm. Interestingly too, I thought you might mention this, but the front title doesn't say New World Pictures. It says Film Group International. Film Group is the company that Roger set up with his brother Gene.
Okay,
Gene, who often gets labeled as a co-founder of New World, but actually they found Film Group, and that's what they did in the 1960s when they wanted to release some of their own movies, like The Intruder and some of the own movies that they financed themselves.
Well, that's more movies you could do. You could do all the Film Group movies too,
Chris. Our show. Oh, thank you for coming, Chris. Thank you. Thanks so much. So great having you. We don't need any more facts. Goes on. No more. Don't connect any more dots. We're good. That's it. We're good. We're good.
I'm just noting something down, Chris. It may or may not be related to what you just said. I'm just writing something down, and whether or not it is exactly what you said. Anyway, what happens is
big bust out of this.
Out of this podcast, you're locked in.
I know
they do bust out from the convent, working at the convent, and they take the nuns' habits, and they dress up as nuns, and with Sister Maria in tow, they leave the convent, and they call their friend Nadia.
Nadia.
Hello?
Hello, Nadia. This is Lee.
Lee? But I thought you were... Aren't you still...
Right now, we need help.
Yes, of course. Well, sure.
Who invites them over to swim in a sweet indoor pool. And Nadia, of course...
They got distracted by that pool. That
oh, my God, the pool. The pool is amazing.
Got distracted by that God.
Pool. At first, I wasn't sure if it was a pool or just a giant bathtub. But I think it was a pool. And for the listeners who might not, it's a circular pool in this domed room. It's like something like a Roman bath or something like that. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. If I had that pool, I would take every meeting with the chief of police that I had in that pool.
And Sergio Garrone is not messing around as producer. He knew, like, we've got a big scene where they're all in the pool and, you know, topless, like playing with a beach ball. But also, let's use it for another scene. There's no reason for Bob Shaw, to be in that pool later conducting business. But, like, we have this location.
Every meeting.
Rainbow beach ball is in the pool. So he's like, I got to play with it.
I'd be doing this podcast in the pool.
We should have recorded this podcast in a big circular pool.
Oh, my God.
It made me think that I really need to hunker down and get back to work on Steamin', because that could be an amazing added scene to Steamin' and just have more dudes in that giant circular pool. Mm-hmm. Chris, I don't want to put you on the spot, but can I count you in for Steamin'?
I don't even know what it is, but you can.
God, yes. Yes.
I don't even, sight unseen.
It's the all male version of Steaming, which is ladies. It takes place in a ladies, you know, spa. So this is going to be all dudes, and it's going to be called Steaming.
That's 100%. I'm in.
Hold on. It's a lot of dongers in Steaming.
Oh yeah.
A lot of dongers.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be all dongs.
What's good for the goose?
Yeah. I mean.
Yes.
When you dedicate your life to art, is that even a sacrifice? I mean, let's be honest.
Fair.
Now, Nadia, by the way, I guess is maybe our main character. Again, I don't know, but there's no way
she's our main character.
No way. But she's not the main.
She is anyway, just saying.
Honestly, what's she doing in this movie?
Yeah. Yeah.
Unfortunately, one of the ladies...
I love Vanetta McGee. I think she's great, but she's not well used.
No. We'll get to that in a second, because unfortunately, while the ladies are enjoying a beach ball romp, Nadia's boyfriend? Bob?
Lover. It's lover? Clearly lover. Yeah. There's no question. Like, listen, Nadia and Bob are they're what you'd call a hip couple. Like they're hip. And you know, like you, how they're dressed, no labels. The general vibes.
No labels. We're together.
Hey, listen,
no
I'm just going to say it. These cats swing.
Yeah. 100%.
I mean, look at the pool. That's a party pool. That's not for two. Yeah.
Keys in the dish. You know how, you know the rules.
Yeah. Fishbowl, Ryan.
Keys
fishbowl.
In the dish and no running when your feet are wet. Okay? Yeah. It's very slippery.
We don't have insurance.
Very slippery in the circular pool. Yeah.
So they're enjoying a beach ball romp in the pool.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob is meanwhile selling them.
Yeah, he's selling
the fuck,
them
Bob?
To a man named El Kadir, including Nadia. Yeah.
including Nadia. Like, is he just not, like, is he just trying to avoid the breakup talk? Like, take your time.
That is a good point.
That is such an awkward
conversation. No matter what level of your relationship you're at, it's always tough.
Yeah.
What's wrong? What are you doing here?
Watching the floor show, baby. And improving things around here. You're going with him. That's what you wanted, isn't it?
How about the fact that this guy's name is El Kadir and he looks like he's from Norway?
Like he's there.
Blonde hair, blue eyes. Mm-hmm. Is it like Paul Muad'Dib where he just took the name? Like, is it like, what is it?
He actually is. He is an American actor.
Really?
The guy playing Al Kadir. His name is Gordon Mitchell. And he
looks like a Gordon Mitchell.
He does. Yeah. He looks like a Gordon.
He was there from like the very beginning, the sword and sandal era, when all the peplums and stuff that came out there, and then into the spaghetti westerns. He did tons of movies over in Italy. So he had an extremely long career there, as well as Bob. Bob is actually played by a guy named William Berger.
Oh, yeah.
Who is another, who's actually an Austrian-American actor whose filmography is almost entirely Italian films, including the first Sartana movie, If You Meet Sartana, Pray for Your Death. He's in Sergio Garrone's 1969 Western, No Room to Die. He's in Lamberto Bava's Monster Shark. He is in Umberto Lenzi's Strike Commando. And of course, he was in Hell Hunters as well.
He was also the dastardly King Minos in the Lou Ferrigno Hercules movies.
Yes. Yes, he was. So Bob takes the girls and he's going to now transport them. He takes them to his buddy Jeff. But Jeff's
a captain of a boat. First of all, we should establish that he has a boat.
He's a ship captain.
And he's a ship captain.
And he is not game for this kind of business.
No. He's not in the human trafficking game at all. But he's done business with Bob before, because he asks, what are we carrying this time? And Bob reveals that it's people. And I'm just saying, wouldn't you make that arrangement in advance? Why would you want to spring that on the guy that it's like, and you're carrying, you know, 7 or 8 women. Include the nun, I think it's 8.
This is why they said so many movies in the past, because this could all be done in a text. But it isn't. And this is what happens instead.
Listen, Bob, I don't want to get myself involved in a slave market.
Now, you don't want me to remind you of your debts, do you? But
to hell with my debts. I won't run white slaves.
Listen, Jeff. Let's say after this trip we'll be even.
You want a word of advice? You and that gang of yours can leave. Like right now.
So that's it, huh? Sure there's enough of you?
So crunchy.
Like, did someone forget to sweep up the sand off the floor? What happened there?
Well, they're outside. They're by the docks.
They're at the docks.
They're out on the rocks.
Real
in the
sandy
dirt.
Dock.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Jeff is the coolest. Jeff is the coolest guy.
Jeff's a cool guy. Yeah.
Not only is he a boat captain who does owe money to nefarious people, so he's clearly not, he's a rogue. He's your anti-hero. He's your Han Solo, but he's not going to do something. He's got limits, ethical limits.
Yeah.
He can take on four or five guys at a time. I mean, he really can do it all.
By take on, you mean fuck them, right?
I mean, we don't see that, but I would not put that past Jeff. But that is not a, that's just for the listeners who don't know this movie. That's not a scene that happens in this film, but I mean, could it have happened?
Could happen.
Sure. I mean, I'd buy it.
Sure.
Maybe that was part of the 20 minutes that got cut out.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Can we talk about what you Bob can
mix
wears?
Business and pleasure. You can mix that. Sometimes it's okay.
Speaking of business and pleasure, can we talk about what Bob wears for this transaction? Because it is a pink shirt, black pants, a belt over the shirt.
Oh, yeah.
A black brimmed hat that he got off Lee Van Cleef, and a neckerchief. It is.
Yeah.
Like it an astronaut, an ensemble. Right?
Yeah, like it's, well, not like a Boy Scout neckerchief, but like mascot.
Yeah,
he's not, you know, not a Weeblo.
It's right. Like less Boy Scouts, more Carl Montalban.
Yeah.
Yeah, an upgraded Weeblo scarf. When you got those scarves that had the little pendant you ran it through so you can make it.
Yeah.
By the way, Jeff is played by Tony Kendall. He's an Italian actor, best known for playing the lead in 7 Commissar X films, which was a Eurospy James Bond knockoff series that I need to watch immediately. I want to watch.
We will have to do all of those on the show
for the James Bond.
At some point, for the James, you have to understand. James Bond series is the white whale. Like I don't. It's so big. I don't know how to.
You're right.
Like it's
Kauke, but is it contextualized in the 60s? You'd have to like do it by era almost because it's
that's
like,
what I was
so,
thinking.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what I've.
Yeah. It would be a massive. Yeah.
It's a massive undertaking. Yes, indeed.
Yes. I mean, you already did like a Giallo series, which that alone is like you could do that, you know, 4 or 5 times over. Like that's you did a particular Bird with a Crystal Plumage, right? That's
yeah. We went the that we're very much following in the had an animal in the title. You were all good. Belly of the Black Tarantula, the Cat of Nine Tails. You got
animals in there, for sure.
Scorpion's tail, you know.
I mean, Jeff ends up taking care of the women and protects them, and he has to protect them. Sometimes he has to even protect them from themselves.
Lolita, you stupid bitch. What are you trying to do, kill us?
Give that here.
I didn't realize it was loaded or I wouldn't have touched it.
All right. In case it's necessary, who knows how to use this thing?
I do. I do, too.
Good. Let's hope we don't need it, though. Hey, Lolita, are you crazy? Get on, all of you! You are crazy.
You know we ought to kill that bitch.
Damn it, Lolita.
Took a pin out of a grenade.
Yeah, but just a quick point of reference. There was no magazine in the gun that she, quote-unquote, shot. So...
Well,
that's shot. That's
breaking the sense of reality there. I was all on board. And then that, you point that out and I'm like,
yeah, you're right, Mark. That was the most unbelievable thing in the whole movie. You're right. Yep. Just that and the sand crosses. I just don't even know. I don't know if I can watch anything else. Knowing how false it is now, Mark.
You were like, well, now, holy shit. I don't know. Lolita, by the way, I love that she says, oh, I didn't know it was loaded or I wouldn't have touched it. We know, Lolita, we barely know any of you. And we know you enough already that none of us buy that. We know who you are.
Lolita, who when she's working in the nun's garden, has before anything happens, just has her blouse fully open.
Yeah.
Well, it was a hot day.
You know, it's like, you know, you never know quite. Oh, the top button, is it too high? The bottom button is too low. Lolita doesn't worry about that. All the buttons
they're all undone. Yeah.
When I do yard work, I typically have one ball out.
Oh.
Right.
Keeps me cool.
Just the one.
Wow.
Not both.
Just the one.
Wow.
And sometimes he tucks that one in and then lets the other one out just to kind of give. Balance, you know, to the airflow on each nut. Like
I'm
you
glad
want to make
you guys
sure.
understand me.
Yeah. Thank
you.
And then when he tries to take some homemade, you know, salsa and fresh baked bread over to a neighbor's house, they're like, thanks. And then the husband's about to slice it. And the wife's like, don't eat that. That's from one ball. Don't. He has his ball out when he gardens. Don't eat that. God. Imagine he probably has both balls out when he's inside baking. Don't eat that.
He's only got his balls out when he's gardening. What are you talking about?
You don't know what's gone into that preserve.
Yeah. Jesus. Husband's just gobbling it down. It's delicious. Who cares?
A guy takes a ball out to do his gardening, and I can't eat his bread. I don't know. That's a lot of that's a lot of rules.
I don't want to live in that world.
Okay. After a grueling hike up a mountain, the girls find the small stream we talked about earlier, only to be attacked by some men that Bob has hired to find them. Of course, the men were hired to find the women, but they're pretty horny. So first to assault the women, which thankfully is over pretty quickly. And then the group is split up, and one of the girls is dead. I would love to tell you which one, but no one mentions it.
It's the last one. It's the one who I didn't get the name on. She's the sneak thief.
Or is it Leanne, the French girl? I'm not. I don't know. Because isn't she the one that hooks them up with Nadia?
She is. Yeah,
so
she is.
That was honestly, I know who it's not, but I don't know who it is. But can we talk about the fact that, like, before the men arrive...
I know who's still around. I don't know who that is. But
I wasn't sure. It was. But, like, before they start in the stream, and then before the men come and attack, you know, and Sister Maria decides she's not going to be in the stream. She's going to take a nap under a tree. Uh-huh. And she sleeps through the whole fucking attack.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, they wake her up afterwards, and she's like, whoa, what happened? But one girl's dead. We don't know her name, but she's dead. And I slept through it.
Before we point fingers, that's very possible. You know, like, I just want to share a quick story that when we worked on cruise ships. We had very small rooms that we stayed in. It was, you know, it was a very compact. We've ever been on a cruise ship, very compact, very small room. In one room, we packed people into the room and had a party. And I slept in that room through the entire party.
Amazing.
So do I believe that someone could sleep through an attack and a murder? Yeah, I do.
Ironically, I was entirely jealous of her ability to sleep through that whole thing. Because I can't sleep.
She's outside.
If there's a creak in the house, I'm awake.
But there's like water running. It's like soothing her to sleep. And she's got a little gentle breeze.
Oh, I could never do that. I'd be awake the whole time. Asleep. Be pissed off. Be like, can you guys die more quietly? I'm trying to nap here.
Now let's not forget, Sister Maria was very forthcoming. And she said, I haven't achieved much. So
yeah, it continues to be true.
We're getting some signs. There might be.
And evidently, she's narcoleptic.
Way to tend to your flock.
I am certain one of the other nuns said that to her. You know, at some point in time, she loses a tour group somewhere. She falls asleep at the museum. Yeah, Sister Maria. But what's crazy about that scene of attack is that all of a sudden it's over, and all of a sudden the group is split, and all of a sudden some of the women that were assaulted are now not assaulted and are fine, and we don't know what happened and what resolved, but one of them is dead, but also we don't care who that is, and we'll never bring that person up again. And then...
Nadia's missing,
and apparently that matters, because they keep talking about it. Because
they just met her, this girl that, as far as they know, might have helped sell them into slavery.
Right.
To be fair, they always say, like, you should befriend somebody that has a pool. So, that's true. You know, they need to hold on to her, because that she pool, does have that really
that's
good
sweet.
Pool.
It's inside. You can use it all year round. I don't know what country this takes place in, but you can use it all the time. Christmas Day, you go for a swim.
Yeah, yep,
I mean, exactly. You're going to be fighting mold in that room all the time.
Oh God, don't tell me these things. I'm honestly, Mark, I got a dream about a circular pool. You don't need to take it away from me. I'm not going to get it.
It's a lot of humidity. You're going to be constantly out there with the CLR cleaning the walls. I'm just saying, it's a lot of maintenance, guys.
Jesus Christ, Mark.
It is. with them split up, they're at camp. Some of them are at camp. And they do discuss Nadia.
Any sign of poor Nadia?
No, and it's stupid to go on looking. Wherever she is, she's dead by now.
All day we've been circling the area searching. If she were around here, we'd have found her.
We'll keep looking for her. Despite what anyone may say, we all want her back.
They just met her. And now, despite what anyone may say, why, number one, do they want to find her so bad? And also, two, did she do something that everyone's mad about? Despite what anyone may say, we do want to find... This was baffling. Why do they
care? This is part of the missing 20 minutes.
Right. Did something happen in those 20 minutes that the Nadia did? I don't know why they're looking. Also, we looked around for her all day. That's not depicted. I mean, it is...
Well, time passes. You just figure time
they're
passes.
They're just, boom, at this camp spot. So we're just talking about somebody we didn't see. Anyway, it doesn't matter because in the end, the next day, the rest of the group is also miraculously back together somehow.
Yeah.
They're back. They got back together. Not Nadia. We're still looking for Nadia.
Nadia.
But
Nadia's still missing.
But the groups are all back together. I don't know how that happened, but suddenly we're apart. Now we're together. So here we go. And they come across a village. And
oh,
Sister
that
Maria,
village.
Of all
that village
people,
is bad news.
Bad news. Of all people, volunteers to investigate. And when she walks into the village, everyone hides away.
Oh, it's so creepy.
Until this little person.
A little person. Yeah.
Dressed as a sheik, I guess.
Something. Yeah,
because
something.
As many of the guards around in this whatever country we're in, because
what country are we in? I
Egypt?
Swear,
yeah. I don't know where are we. I don't know where we are.
Either anyway. It was just on sale at Ross, and so he picked it up. So
that's fair.
So
a lot less.
They are near a Ross. Thank God.
Yeah,
they're in civilized society. This little person comes out and tries to scare her and keeps trying to scare her in this amazing moment. That just doesn't seem to work. He just sort of motions towards and says, come with me.
Come with me. And she goes, with the little person into this, into this courtyard. And there, that's where she finds Nadia strung up and beaten.
Yep.
It's like, oh shit.
Being whipped. Yeah.
Whipped. And the little person starts whipping Nadia. So the sister in good Christian fashion kills the little person with a rock. Amazing.
Amazing.
Crazy.
Did not see that
crazy.
Coming.
No.
Did not see that coming.
On top of that, then we go into some sort of like almost Italian horror giallo territory.
The black robes that the villagers are all wearing?
Villagers in these black robes.
Oh my God.
Start chasing Sister Maria out into like the square of the village where they then all try to stone her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Until Jeff... somehow, without anyone in the town knowing, climbed up upon that giant concrete structure in the middle of town and starts firing a gun with Mark. I don't know. Was there bullets in the gun this time?
Yes, there was a magazine in that scene.
Okay.
So,
okay. Honestly, this whole sequence.
Were you just making tallies? Were you just making tallies?
I was paying attention. But also, Jeff's enemies or whatever, they've hired this... I don't know, group to like shoot at them. But like, if your whole idea is to sell these women into slavery, killing them seems counterintuitive, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's offering $2,000. He does want them back,
but killing them isn't going to get you there.
Yeah. You do need
them. You do. Yeah. He does need them alive. I don't think, El
it's not wanted
to be
The buyers might have a
certain
though.
Client. There's a certain client that may be acceptable, but that's.
Mm-hmm.
That's
we're not here to judge.
I'll judge that. That's I'm happy to judge that. But like, this whole sequence in the village is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's so creepy. And also the other thing about this movie that is, it is amazing, is the locations are just amazing. Like, yeah. They spend a lot of time walking through that desert, and it's a lot of time in the desert, but holy shit, the desert looks great. This village where I don't know what country this takes place in, but I also want to find out what country it's shot in, because the look of this movie is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know we're not at things we love, things we hated, but that's what I loved about this movie is the set pieces. I mean, it looks beautiful. Like, I'm like, that's a place I'd like to go see.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
just to dip a little bit into the research, we'll get there soon, but this was shot in Italy and in Africa. That's where this was shot.
Oh, okay.
That's
why.
Okay. Morocco, Africa? Do you think?
All I know is Africa. I don't
Tunisia,
know. I don't know specifics.
I'm just saying, I have my Delta app open and I'm just trying to figure out where I should book.
Trying to figure out. Plan a trip. Trying to go film all those locations just so you can make a little like, hey guys.
That all tracks.
That's right. I'd love to take the family on a New World Pictures Women in Prison vacation.
Big bust out location sites.
Honestly, that sounds great. You guys should run that tour. I'd sign up.
They save her, and all of a sudden they leave the village on horseback. And while they get in their horses, another one of the girls is shot. Again, I want to tell you who it is, but I don't know, and no one talks about it.
But Nadia's dead, too. She dies fairly soon.
They camp. They camp for the night. And that is when Nadia dies. That's
dies.
It.
Dies. Yeah.
First
that's
build
it.
Of the movie, Vanetta McGee, build first, dies with half an hour left of this movie.
Yeah.
It's just a criminal use of Vanetta McGee.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
She's great. And, come on. And I don't know.
If you watch this movie excited to see Vanetta McGee, that's a real.
Yeah. No, there's reasons to watch this movie. And I love Vanetta McGee, but this is not her best showcase. Like, they just don't.
No.
But
this
it's
is
funny.
I don't know who this is a showcase for exactly, but it's definitely not Vanetta McGee's. So.
I don't know.
I don't know if this is a showcase for anybody. Maybe Jeff.
Maybe Bob William Berger. You know, is a good villain.
Maybe. Yeah.
But it's funny because it's around this time I'm watching this movie, and I had never seen this movie before the other day, and I'm watching this movie, and it was here where a funny thing happened, something I genuinely did not expect. I actually really began to care about these characters, the ones that were still alive that I knew the names of.
So a handful.
I did. Like, yeah, a handful
one or
of
two.
Them. But like,
one
I didn't
two.
Expect
not many.
It. I don't know how it happened, but it did. And it's real interesting. Like, there's a visual transformation that these girls undergo in this movie that is very different than most New World Women in Prison pictures, because you know, like, even they start out in prison, you know, they got, like, when they're doing the work in the convent, they're in shirts and panties. Like, that's it. It's a shirt and a panty and panties. And as it goes on, they actually, like, steal clothes. This is the only New World Women in Prison movie where they put on more clothes as the movie goes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
100%.
Yeah.
That's the quote.
But yeah, it was amazing.
They do eventually get caught by El Kadir and his men and are brought to a castle where Bob Shaw, which is William Berger, his name is Bob Shaw, Robert Shaw.
I didn't catch that he was last name Shaw. Bob. It was just Shaw. Bob Shaw.
Bob Shaw, I believe, looking at the Italian Wikipedia, he's Schwartz in the Italy version. But but Bob Shaw on this one. Anyway,
Schwartz Shaw?
Bob Schwartz.
Oh.
But I you know what? I'm sorry for even saying no. I should have just said, of course.
Yeah. You should have said, yes.
Because, I mean, I want to live in a world, too, where they're like, why would we call him Bob Shaw? Let's call him Schwartz Shaw. That's a lot. That makes more sense. That's our version. The Americans can do what they want, but this is our version.
Yeah.
They get captured, but then Bob discovers El Kadir's treasure, and he decides to have a change of plans, and he's going to free Jeff in order to help them. And that is not only narratively convenient, it's also great timing for Sister Maria, who is being carved up quite literally by a character called Little Ivan, who entered El Kadir's compound with the gift of a machine gun.
Little Ivan looks like Roman Polanski with a platinum dye job. And like he's got this machine gun, and he wants to make a deal for one girl in exchanges, and he chooses Sister Maria. I mean, I guess he's got a thing. He's got a fetish. What's so weird about Little Ivan is, like, when he's approaching her, he's moving weirdly like a malfunctioning robot. Like, he's like, or the Tin Man or so, like Tin Woodsman. Yeah. Like, it's like he's he's not actually making that noise. That was my own artistic license. But, like, he's moving like an awkward robot thing. It is the strangest acting choice.
Yeah,
it is a choice. It is a choice. Yeah. And he's played by Austrian actor Herb Andress, who was also in Hellhunters.
Oh,
yeah. A lot of Hellhunters people in this.
And I'm going to watch Hellhunters after this.
He was in an uncredited role in Lady Frankenstein.
Wow.
No kidding. Who is he in Lady Frankenstein?
He is labeled as a humpback. That's what they say. He's a humpback.
Not a nice thing to say.
Uncredited as a humpback in Lady Frankenstein, which I was like, why is there a humpback? How do I not remember? So now I got to watch two movies again. So, anyway,
what are your qualifications to play Little Ivan? Well, I was an uncredited humpback.
Good enough.
Of course, there's a showdown with El Kadir, and I don't want to spoil anything. Okay, because I don't want to get into a lot of details because I don't want to ruin this for people, but. But guys, Johnny dies. Johnny.
Yeah.
I know. Another character we never knew, but whose death is given more weight than Nadia, who is the first gold star of the freaking movie.
If Johnny was actually Bob's lover, it puts a lot of pieces into place for this movie.
Because Bob
is broken up about Johnny's death.
Destroyed.
Yeah.
Destroyed.
And it would make sense why he's like, I got to sell Nadia. I got to get Nadia out of the picture because Johnny's here.
I think Johnny's the one in the other one in the pool, in the meeting with the captain, the police captain. Okay. Like he's tossing the beach ball at him.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Now this is all coming together. Yeah, because he loses it when Johnny dies.
He goes nuts. He goes nuts for this character we saw 2 minutes ago for the first time. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Jason Kleberg from the Force 5 podcast, a show that forces a guest to come up with a movie-themed top 5 list topic, and then we reveal our picks on air. Top 5 heist films, top 5 tearjerkers, top 5 movie dogs. Every show you'll be asking yourself, what would be on my list? Guests include directors, screenwriters, actors, podcasters, musicians, authors, and even a professional wrestler. Subscribe to the Force 5 podcast, and you won't just be a listener, you'll be a list nerd. The Force 5 podcast, available wherever you're listening now.
It's time for things we loved and things we hated.
That's right. We're going to talk about the things we loved and the things we hated about the big bust out. Chris, let's start with you. What is, because I think, Mark, you said yours. But we'll have you remind us in a second. But Chris, what did you love?
I loved how genuinely surprised I was by this movie. Like, again, having watched a number of these type of movies, and this does not necessarily stick to that formula. I did not really expect to care about a handful of these characters, but I did care about a handful of these characters. Not all of them, but a handful. And I genuinely cared, and I was really surprised. As well as that pool. The pool is amazing.
There is something to that Italian aesthetic, and it's like, I don't know if it's like the janky push-ins or like just some of the style of those movies, but there's something to that Italian style that is just so warm and comforting to me when I watch them, that it's like, it's very hard for me to be like seeing something that's so clearly Italian or at least European, because the director is not from Italy, but that it just feels like, I don't know. It feels like a warm blanket. And I'm like, okay. It's hard for me to dismiss out of hand. I mean, not to say there aren't bad Italian movies. There certainly are. But there's something about it that at least has that comfort level. And Mark, you had said before the thing you loved was
The scenery and the set yeah. pieces. I mean, it's certainly not a set, and they shot on location at some places that just look like awesome places I'd love to go see.
Yeah. You want to take your family? I hope you booked the trip.
I'm working on it. Yeah, I'm working on it.
Erica, flights what are a little
challenging, especially when I don't know where I'm going.
Right.
So exactly. It's a little hard.
Yeah. Start with Italy, because if Africa's a little bit bigger, so you might. You know, you're gonna just pick if you're gonna pick.
It's funny, I was doing the opposite, and I was just gonna go straight to like rando parts of Africa and just see what I can find.
We'll figure it out, guys. Okay. We'll figure it out. Yeah. We'll find it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's got to be a castle in the middle of nowhere somewhere here.
So, gotta be.
Yeah.
New World Pictures podcast tour. We'll find it.
That's right.
Erica, what did you love?
I also loved that pool. It was pretty terrific. But I just loved how this movie really went beyond the jail.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we kind of touched on this earlier, but typically it's just like it's centered just around the jail or breaking out or maybe one other much sadder location. And this just went for it. And they went all over the place and traveled and hiked in streams and you know, hike through the desert, and it was wild. I did not expect this. I did not expect the twists and turns.
Yeah, usually the like if they break out, it's usually the third act, and that's that. But here,
that's
it's,
that. Yeah,
it's, like it's early, you know, and it's everything that happens after. Yeah,
I would like to say it's at the end of the first act, but to be honest, I don't. This doesn't adhere to any sort of structure.
we don't know what's in the missing 20 minutes. The missing 20 minutes could solve that.
I don't know.
It just ties it all together so nicely.
Or if it's Italian, it might have been some weirdo, like, other, like, subplot that they just cut out that you're like, oh, this actually doesn't need to be here. And they got rid of it, and that made sense. Like, I don't know. I don't know. It could be any of those things.
Yeah. Well,
for me, Chris had mentioned it already, the like a lot of Italian cinema, this has got a pretty sweet score.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. This was written by Elcio Mancuso and Berto Pisano, who's credited as Bert Rexon, a duo that also composed the score for Andrea Bianchi's classic Burial Ground.
Oh.
Which, if people have not seen that movie, you should see it immediately. It's absolutely
insane.
But not
Hellhunters.
And Hellhunters, you should see. Bianchi, well, here's another one. Bianchi, by the way, also worked on the New World Video classic Angel of Death, which we could also...
Shit.
Yeah. Oh, so, but this is... Burial Ground is a very weird Italian movie wherein a mother and son have a very curious relationship, and there's zombies. So, enjoy. Enjoy. but I love that score. That score is like, Chris, you put it so well, like that's like an Italian... It's like an Italian cop show score.
Yeah.
Somehow, but in this movie. And there's like that's from the beginning, and that they play that song a lot, but there's also a slowed down version of that as well.
Yeah.
Which also is terrific. Like it's
you
come for the Italian push-ins and weird angles and then you stay for the sweet jams that they normally deliver to you. So all right, let's switch to things we hated. Mark, what's something you hated?
Definitely the fact that you have characters that die that you don't even know really who they are, and they seem to very quickly just move on. At one point, and I think you were talking about this character earlier, she shot on a horse, and the scene, she shot, but it just like moves the horse to get in the right spot, and then just does a gentle roll off. And I was like, you know... If you can just push aside the pain of just being shot, she was very courteous with that horse.
She cares about that horse.
Yeah,
she cared about that horse, and I really appreciated that. I don't know who she was. No. I don't know which character that is.
Nope.
Nobody cries. They're just like, oh, that one died too. let's
did
move
not
on.
Get buried. Did not get buried. No, right. But, you know, right. It, so we don't care. But you know what? Like, she didn't want to get stomped by that horse. And, you know, she's probably not getting stunt pay. So, you know what? You got to really clear. You got to clear the zone.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You are landing on hard earth, no matter how, you know, how softly you fall. So, all right. Chris, what is something you hated?
I think the scene, you know, after the splashing around in the trickle of a stream, the scene where the men attack them, and it is a pretty gratuitous sexual assault scene. Yeah. And people who are sensitive to that's it may be uncomfortable to watch. Yeah. I don't know if it's really like it may have made me a little uncomfortable. I'll say that. And the flagrant underuse of Vanetta McGee, that is a problem. Yep. Those are my two things. Damn the rules.
Both well founded.
Erica, what is something you hated?
This is a big spoiler. So if you're thinking about watching this and you haven't yet, you should stop and just watch it and then come back and listen to what I hated. But I hated that Sister Maria got shot. I hated that. Yeah. I hated that she got taken out. I was like, come on. Or I thought maybe that she would get injured, but they would still maybe get her out of there or something. Yeah, I hated that. Hated that. Didn't see that one coming either.
Yeah.
didn't see Jeff. We mentioned that earlier. Didn't see her death coming. That was a bummer.
It's interesting when you have a big ensemble movie of any type, if it's like adventure or it's horror or whatever, and you see the cast is going to die a little bit. This one definitely had a cast outside of Jeff oh, they survived. Okay.
Yeah.
If you were going to say like you got to pick a couple that you think are going to survive, not sure I would have picked those two. But
that's because it doesn't tell you who the main character is at the beginning. In some ways, it's not tipping its hand in that way, and that's interesting. Like it could have been anybody. You know,
When a movie says we're not going to follow particularly these people, we're just following everyone. So just watch everyone. Right.
Yeah.
I also hated something to do with Sister Maria, but it's not that she died. It's the fact that she didn't bring back any bread for anybody. She just got a little free meal there in the village. Like, there's tons of bread there, sister, and you're taking some. So clearly you don't mind getting a little grabsy with the bread. You mind
secret bread.
Bringing
secret
some of that.
Secret bread eats.
Like some pretty sweet flatbread there. You're going to bring a little bit back for everybody? Or just you, huh?
Yeah.
She hasn't done,
she's made a lot of mistakes. And
that was
one of them.
Yeah. All right. Let's switch to favorite scenes. Mark, what's your favorite scene? Always a good sign. So.
Dancing sparkly shoes?
Amazing.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes. Those three guys?
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Incredible.
And the fact that that whole group of people in that palace or whatever are laughing so hard.
Oh my God.
Like, I don't know what joke was told, but I'd love to hear it. Mm-hmm. But everyone's laughing and having a great time.
When good times are happening in this movie, they are the best times.
Yes.
Honestly, they look like good times.
They find a just enough definable stream and they're like, hooray, party time. Let's just kick it into high gear. You know, they get out the gold shoes.
Mm-hmm.
This is a party now. Everyone,
these are gold,
your mind.
Sparkly shoes. Like they are, they're like the ruby slippers, but gold. And it's like it's amazing.
Great,
incredible,
pick. Great pick.
The big bust out really celebrates the wins.
Yeah,
they really do, big and small.
You feel the losses, but you celebrate the wins. Yeah. That's life right there.
Chris, what was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene, and I'm so glad we actually didn't talk. It's the fight at the boat when Jim decides because this fight, guys, I swear to God, it's got to be the inspiration for the battle of the news teams in Anchorman, because holy shit, does it escalate quickly.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Like it goes from guys throwing punches to guys with machine guns, to guys with grenades, to a gas tank exploding. It is amazing. It is like, it just, it all you needed was like a pop and a bang on the screen. It would be like the Batman TV show. It is incredible. It's one of my favorite fight scenes that I've seen of late. It's great.
Yep.
Yeah, it's totally
That's a good one.
With you.
That's a good one.
Erica, what was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene was when the ladies take over the nunnery. I'm forgetting the name of it.
The convent. The nunnery.
Get thee to a nunnery. That's a real thing. That's some Shakespeare right there.
Yeah, thank you. So when the ladies take over the convent and then they hold up all the nuns and take their clothes. Favorite scene. It's funny. Amazing. It's dramatic. They really like get to give it to the old, you know, mean head sister who's, you know, nasty to them. So yeah,
favorite scene. Loved it. The best time.
Yeah,
oh, they're laughing. They are laughing like maniacs. It's great.
This is the most fun we've ever had until we get to a tiny stream. Until we get to a party with these guys in the gold shoes. Like it's until the next good time.
Yeah.
The best time.
Yeah.
I love the scene that that we kind of just talked about at the end when Jeff tells Johnny to hold off on firing the machine gun.
Until he gets the girls
out of the way. And then Johnny just immediately starts firing at everyone.
Everybody. You don't know who is hit. It's like a Dynasty season finale. Holy shit. That's a very deep reference for 80s soap opera fans.
Oh, I'm with you. I am with you on that one. Oh, that was good.
It's like, hey, you want to man the gun? Great. Just one small rule. Just wait. Give me 1 minute to get the girls out of the way. Cool, great. Let me just fire. Like, no,
too late.
Yeah. I have one rule. One rule, Johnny.
They just got that machine gun, and how convenient to put it in a place that was aiming directly at the whole fucking party.
At all of them. Crazy.
All of them.
All of that is just nuts. And that's how poor Carmen gets it. And, you know, like, I mean, because he just fires indiscriminately at everybody.
Willy-nilly.
It's insane.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Final questions. Let's get into our final questions for the big bust out.
Oh.
Now we're here. We're finally here. Mm. Mark, you could probably answer this better than anyone, but please, if you know, please jump in. When was the last time that big pool was clean?
I was just thinking while we were talking about the pool, I'm also like, I didn't see where the return is on that pool. So how much is that water being circulated and going through the filter?
Correct.
And is that
that's where the little basket
filter?
Is. The little basket that you gotta pull out of track seals.
I didn't see that. So it's been a long time. Like,
I'm just gonna assume it's there.
Yeah.
You get Johnny to skim it every day, you know, that's fine.
Yeah. Johnny's not jumping in there and, you know, using his pumice stone or whatever to clean off all the tile around, you know.
No, not at all.
You can tell. He's not doing that job. All right. We talked about this a little bit earlier, but I'm curious if anybody else has a story. So we'll see. But we talked about Sister Maria sleeping through the entire attack. But what's the biggest thing that you slept through?
Oh, certainly.
I slept through a class in college, and I woke up, and the entire
class...
I was in the class, and I fell asleep, and I woke up, and the entire class and the teacher were gone, and the lights were off.
That's amazing.
At some point, the teacher walked past me and was like, I'm just going to let you sleep this one out.
That guy is asleep.
Yep.
Wow.
I was on a bus once, and I slept through Northern Ireland.
Oh no!
We were going from one point in the Republic of Ireland to another point in the Republic of Ireland. I slept through Northern Ireland.
Oh wow, man.
Mark, was your class about Irish history? Because maybe
that would be amazing.
There.
It was a history class.
Ooh,
yeah, okay, I'm not kidding. Okay. Yeah, but the other part of it too is I had my leg up on the seat in front of me. and it had fully fallen asleep to where I couldn't. I stood up and fell down because it was completely asleep.
Oh, God. And there was no one to see that pratfall. Oh, no.
Man. That's a... Ryan, you could also tell the story about me when I slept through the drive.
Oh, Erica's story is that my brother-in-law told me the story where he said they went on a family trip and drove out to the Outer Banks? Myrtle Beach.
Oh.
And they drove from Indiana out to Myrtle Beach and Erica slept the entire drive. She slept the entire drive, and then when they got to the house they rented in Myrtle Beach, Erica got out of the car, went into her particular room that she was going to stay in, got in bed, and went back to sleep.
Amazing.
So it was like just for the listeners that don't understand the mass of land that you covered. Yeah. How many hours were you asleep in the car?
Like 12 to 15 by
that's a
my
long drive.
Count. And then just went to back to sleep as soon as she got there, living her best life.
Yeah. And they stopped and ate and got gas and like took breaks. Sound asleep.
It is the fundamental difference between folks from the Northeast United States and people from the Midwest is how long you consider to be an acceptable driving time.
100%.
Like
100%.
It's 15 hours. I'm looking for a plane to get me there.
Yeah.
Like, or a train or something. I'm like 15 hours. You're going through like, you know, I don't know, 120 states. I don't know how many, however many states, how many states are left now? We've taken over Canada yet? I don't know how many states we have now.
Yeah.
I mean, my wife's family is from Wisconsin and a couple of her relatives have places in Phoenix. Now that's a, 3-hour flight.
Wisconsin to Arizona?
Yeah, 3-hour flight. Well, they'll fly from Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
But have any of them ever taken a flight? No. They just drive.
Why? I have friends in Texas who are like, it's just a 4-hour drive. 4 hours? I'm looking to do something else other than drive.
Yeah.
Like, 4 hours is everywhere. The outer limit of my driving time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like if it's drove, it's a
everywhere. Everywhere. Oh my God. We drove everywhere. I did not board a plane until I was a senior in high school looking at colleges.
Incredible. Incredible.
Could they have found a smaller barrel for Lolita to bathe in?
No, they could not. It's honestly practically a tray.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I know like there's not more footage of that. It's very brief because if there was, Corman would have kept it. But it was what a hilarious moment that was. That's comically
it was
small.
Amazing.
Overall, though, guys, how do we think Sister Maria's attempt to rehabilitate the girls went? Did they go good?
I mean, honestly, and I'm gonna, serious answer to that question. The ones that lived, I think it went great.
Yeah.
Forever changed.
I think they're cured. I think they're cured.
I don't want to give it away, but for the ones that lived, they had a transformation. They were not the same at the end of that picture as they were at the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true.
Based upon her outfit, she very likely it was a Hollywood or a film rendition. But it looks like based upon her habit and everything, she was from the Order of the Sisters of Charity. I'm not joking there.
I don't think you are.
And
no one's laughing.
I don't.
I mean, I don't know if this would kill in religious circles, but.
I went to a Jesuit college. I think this is a completely reasonable conversation for this podcast.
I did too. Funny, I went to a Jesuit college. I didn't go in the church until graduation day. And I remember sitting there with my friends.
You and I went there for the first time the same day.
Yeah. And I remember being in there and being like, wow, it's really pretty in here. They're like, you've never been in here? I'm like, no. Anyway, was she charitable? Maybe. I mean,
not with
she
the
was
friend.
Trying.
Not with the...
Forgive and remember.
We all have moments of weakness. We're yes. just human. Mm-hmm.
She said yeah. she wasn't perfect.
The Lord always you give tests
me
us.
You give me some good garlic naan bread and I'm not sharing. Okay?
No. Oh.
All right, let's get into some quick research here. Again, this was reportedly put into production after The Big Dollhouse was released. So it was released in Italy, and they went right into production on this, as I said, shot in Italy and Africa. And apparently had one really significant difficulty, because I found an article about an issue they had with an unscheduled destruction. And this is when they were shooting, I guess, in Rome, Italy. A clerical error here brought about the arrest of six key members of a motion picture company shooting the film The Big Bust Out.
Oh, my God.
Shot on location in Italy and Northern Africa. Northern Africa. That ought to that should trigger mm-hmm. search a little bit, Mark.
I'm okay. I'm adjusting my search now.
There you go. For one of the spectacular scenes, the nighttime destruction of a building was required. Permission was granted by the Italian government to destroy an abandoned apartment house, but a clerical error by the Italian Department of Public Housing, which listed the wrong street address, resulted in the dynamiting of the fourth largest insurance company in the nation.
Wow.
Oh, that's... Amazing.
Wow. Unbelievable.
They didn't use that footage in the film.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't see anything. They didn't know when the building was the blew up.
When was that? When did that even happen? Here is the director, again, labeled as Richard Jackson, not Ernst Ritter von Thuner. But Jackson amused waiting reporters by quipping, "I hope my insurance premiums don't go up now."
Oh, they did.
Oh,
100%. My gosh.
Oh, man. Okay.
They totally did. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Wow.
This opened in Italy in 1972, and in 1973 opens on double bills with the other New World movies like The Big Dollhouse and The Big Birdcage, but also The Woman Hunt, Night of the Cobra Woman, and Seven Blows of the Dragon. So they kind of keep adding this either as the first feature, and it quickly becomes second feature. It's second or third feature when they're playing the other women in prison movies. So, but they just kind of play it with a bunch of other features. Kind of typically how they did this stuff, particularly in the early 70s.
It's a utility player.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You just plug it in. Plug it in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How Roger Corman picked up this movie, I'm going to leave to Corman to tell in a second. But as a backstory, I'll mention that Corman started New World with Larry Woolner, who owned a chain of drive-ins in Louisiana with his brother. And that's where Corman had distributed some of his early movies. And Corman brought him in as president of sales and distribution. It was Woolner, in fact, who suggested not only to make a nurse movie, but also a women in prison movie. This was Woolner's idea. Now, he leaves New World after the first year, and he starts Dimension Pictures, taking Stephanie Rothman and her husband, Charles Schultz, with him, literally across the street, across the street on Santa Monica. So I bring up Woolner because in this book, The Movie World of Roger Corman, Roger does not refer to him by name, but this is who he's talking about. Huh. He's talking about Larry Woolner. But here's in Roger Corman's words, how he picks this movie up. He says, "The Big Bust Out was a really funny project. We had been making these women in prison films in the Philippines, and they'd been immensely successful. The Big Dollhouse had played Italy and done very well, and in the Rome film industry, as soon as a film comes from anywhere and does well, you can be sure that in a matter of weeks, someone will be shooting a follow-up. As soon as The Big Dollhouse did well, The Big Bust Out was made, and since I have friends living in Rome, I heard from them that this film existed. Now, my former sales manager," that would be Larry Woolner, but he doesn't say that, "and I are very good friends. So this is a story of motion picture distribution. He had left to start his own company, and we were very friendly. As a matter of fact, I have recommended many producers to him. Anyway, he had heard of this Italian picture, and he knew how much money we had made, so he wanted this picture. He got on a plane to Rome before anybody could make the deal. I knew he had left. So while he was in the air, I bought the film by phone and telex and telex the money from Bank of America here to a Bank of America in Rome and told my friend, get a letter of agreement. There's no time for a contract. Get a letter of sale. Give him the down payment with a statement that the sale will come later. By the time my former sales manager landed in Rome, the film had been sold to me. To his surprise, it was not a very good film, but we made a little profit with it.
Amazing.
Wow.
Amazing. Oh, if only the Concorde had gone from Los Angeles to Rome, he could have won.
Wow.
That is an amazing story. My God, that is great.
Incredible. And I know it's a long read there, but I mean, you have to hand it to Corman and let him say it.
Oh, absolutely.
Now it's all very clear why he left so quickly. He was like, this guy's going to throw me under the bus at every turn, even mid-flight.
I mean, he even says, like Corman says about Woolner in his, memoir, he has talked about how they remain friends and there was no animosity for him to start his own company. But like that story to me is so incredible.
That's wild.
And I'm like, you draw your own conclusions, but like, I don't think you guys are as good at pals as you like to let on because that is some devious shit right there.
That is just a fantastic Roger Corman story.
That's
so great. Thank you for sharing that. That is wonderful.
Well, that is it. We have come to the end of the big bust out. Chris, thank you so much for joining us on this
episode. This has been great. This movie surprised me, and I had a fantastic time with it.
I'm so glad you liked it. I think we we're having a good time. We're already having a good time here.
We're all having the best time.
The best time. We just need a beach ball.
The best time we're having. Best time. Yes, we are off to the races here with In Prison Mark 2.
Second offense.
Thank you so much, Chris, for joining us. Where can people find you?
We can find us at Get Me Another Pod at Twitter, Instagram, Threads, Blue Sky, you name it. We are all at Get Me Another Pod, the podcast. You can find it at Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, wherever you're listening to this podcast. You can find Get Me Another and join us for Get Me Another Fatal Attraction, which is starting soon. It's going to be fantastic. It's going
to
be
great. We cannot wait.
Looking forward to it.
Really looking forward to that. Thank you so much for coming back. We will have to have you back again. We'd love having that.
Anytime, any movie. Awesome. I love the show.
That is literally true. Just to let listeners know, we threw this at Chris with less than a week to go, and you said, you bet. And look at the great time we had. This is amazing.
Oh, my God.
That's where you can check out.
Ryan, really quick. I just want to say, Chris is a guest worth burying.
He gets
a burial.
Right. Oh my God.
He gets a burial. Yeah. He earned it.
I don't even need the concrete. The sand is fine.
I would set that headstone to be properly set up for you.
Oh my goodness.
Chris is worth overloading your cart with concrete and running it into a ditch and going end over end.
That's right.
I can't believe those people laughed. I would be so worried that someone was really hurt. My goodness.
And this time Mark can pop back up and say, I'm okay, but I gotta go bury my friend out in the desert.
I got a body under the deck that I got things to do.
It ain't getting better. If you want to join us for the rest of Prison Mark 2, you can go to our website, newworldpicturespodcast.com. It's where you can find all of our episodes, our articles, our t-shirts. Buy a t-shirt. Chris has
their t-shirts
a
are great.
T-shirt.
I got the New World Pictures Podcast, the early 80s logo t-shirt. I like it so much I wear it on planes. And I'm very picky about the clothes I wear on planes because they get warm and it's very comfortable. Mm-hmm. You guys, get a t-shirt.
Thank you. Thank you. That supports the show. Helps us out. We got lots of designs. If you don't want to wear New World Pictures, there's plenty of things there. But anyway,
why would you not want to wear New World Pictures?
If you're listening to this show, it would boggle my mind. You wouldn't want that.
Are you going to wear a Canon Films logo? Get the hell out of here.
Yeah, no one wants that. Definitely not Dimension. No one wants that
either. No one wants Dimension. That's got connotations now.
Well, this was the old Dimension. I think the old Dimension that started isn't the same as...
Yeah. But not everybody walking through, the LAX is going to know that.
True. Mm-hmm. This is the non-problematic Dimension. You have to keep telling that to everyone that looks at your shirt.
Honestly, put that on the back.
The 1970s non-problematic one. All right,
shrimp-free Dimension.
We hope you'll join us next time on the New World Pictures Podcast, part of Someone's Favorite Productions Podcast Network. Bye, everybody.